Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, March 4th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 41, the second paragraph, starting with, "As soon as I regained," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Audrey M.P., 12 Traditions, Christina M. Reader of the text this morning is Laura R. Eileen D. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Jody E. The reference number for Wednesday, March 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,506. That's 16506. And for this morning, Thursday, March 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number 16,516. That's 16516. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Mary B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Dawn B., and good morning, Team Thursday. I'm Audrey M.P. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Southern California, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Wait a minute. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a good meeting, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Audrey M.P. I will now ask Christina M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you, Dawn. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Boston, Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, and we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 41, the second paragraph, beginning with, "As soon as I regained," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Laura R. to begin reading. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. As soon as I regained my ability to think, I went carefully over that evening in Washington. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. This time, I had not thought of the consequences at all. I had commenced to drink as carelessly as though the cocktails were ginger ale. I now remembered what my alcoholic friends had told me, how they prophesied that if I had had an alcoholic mind, the time and place would come, I would drink again. They had said that though I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason for having a drink. Well, just that did happen and more, for what I had learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. I knew from that moment that I had an alcoholic mind. I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. I had never been able to understand people who said that a problem had them hopelessly defeated. I knew then it was a crushing blow. Oh, goodness, what an awesome paragraph. First of all, that first sentence just hit me. As soon as I regained my ability to think, woof. I mean, I know we all can relate to this. At least I know I can. Waking up that morning, crumbs, you know, just going, is that a nightmare? Was that true? Did I really do what I did last night? And yeah, you know, and just having that pit, that fear, you know, and it makes me think of in a vision for you, the four horsemen, you know, bewilderment, frustration, despair, and unhappiness. It's just terror. You know, you wake up and you're just like, really, I did it again. I hate that feeling, you know, and it's just so beautiful that today I don't have to feel that way anymore, but we're not talking about that right now. So I love that it's italicized, and I've learned that if it's italicized, we're really looking at it, you know. So not only had I been off guard, so I'm not going to have defense. I'm not going to be on guard. There's going to be a mental blank spot at some point. You know, I might be able to carry on for a little while, but at some point I'm going to be caught off guard. I'm not going to make a fight, you know, when it comes to eating. And it's just, I'm going to make some trivial excuse will come in and I will not think of the consequences at all. And, you know, and that did just happen, you know, not that I picked up, but I did, you know, the stinking thinking just comes in and it's like, you know what, maybe I can. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, this is insane. So thank goodness that we have a solution today. I love, again, that, you know, he, you know, a couple paragraphs before, didn't believe that he had the body and the mind of an alcoholic. He didn't think that his body and mind were sick, like they were talking about. And, you know, honestly, what I see with this paragraph is actually, like, kind of excited for him. It's like, yes, thank you, God, get me off the train. I am so done with being on that train of the cycle over and over. And what's so beautiful, and we'll see in a couple chapters or a couple paragraphs after this, he, you know, it says here, like, I knew from that moment that I had the alcoholic mind. Like, it's just finally going from his head to his heart. He's getting it. And he had to take those bites. He had to take those drinks and really see what those guys were talking about. Oh my gosh. Like, I made no defense. I just thought that I was drinking as carelessly as ginger ale. So I love that. Again, you know, my self-knowledge and my will would not help in those strange mental blank spots. And hopelessly defeated, and it was a crushing blow. Amen. You know, amen. And even though it seems like the worst day, it's the best day. And I love the next couple sentences. Like, the people grinned, and he didn't like it so much. Yeah, we grinned because we're like, thank you, God. And sorry to go into that paragraph, but it's just like, yay, you're here. And so I'm actually saying, yay, Fred, and yay to all of us who finally get that on our knees. You know, God just took me out of the knees, and I finally surrendered. I dropped down and said, God, the flag is up. What do I have to do? And thank God he led me into the rooms of OA and, you know, put people in my path that showed me this book and gave me a solution and brought me to God. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura R. Great way to get us started. I'll now be opening up the line to take names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Stacy A.
Stacy A.
Liz T.
Liz T.
Diane B.
Diane B.
Jordan R.
I'm not sure who that was. Can you say that again?
Kristen R.
Kristen R.
Cindy B.
Jordan L.
Cindy B.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. And let's stop there. Okay, I have Stacy A., Liz T., Diane B., Kristen R., Cindy B., and Jordan L. Stacy A., will you get us started, please? Good morning.
Hi. Hi, yeah. Just listening to that, the reading, I last night thought I could have a slice of pizza that was like vegan. I was abstinent, or what I thought was like my abstinent for my behaviors for like 2 days. I'm a newcomer, and it just set me off the bad wagon, and it led me to like a little of my old behaviors, and I cannot pick up. I do have an alcoholic mind that set me forth, and I made outreach calls, and just listening to that passage just got me. It just reminded me that I can't pick up because it's going to lead me back to my old ways, and I don't want to go back there. So it just like really just reminded me, just listening to this meeting right now, that I have to be so mindful every day of how far I've come, and just listening into the meeting and making those outreach calls and just not going for the food that are going to trigger me to set me back. And just not pick up like an alcoholic, because my mind can play tricks on me like an alcoholic. Because I do have a sick mind. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Stacy A.
Thank you.
And Liz T, will you share with us now, followed by Diane B, and please share what state or country you're calling from, please. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Minnesota. And talk about the jackpot on this paragraph. I mean, it's just, that vicious cycle over and over and over again, that powerlessness. you know, that we all have to come to admit and concede to our innermost selves that we are compulsive overeaters, that that alcoholic mind that I have that will always lead me back to that first compulsive bite, especially if I'm just keeping off guard, especially if I'm just going to meetings, especially if I'm just following a diet. You know, I need that spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, that protection and safety from my higher power that comes as a result of getting out of my own way, being willing to put the food down, work through the steps quickly, abstinently, in order to help regain a connection to my higher power. I can't worship two gods, and that's what I was doing with the food. And once the food is down and I recognize my character defects and come to terms with those and be willing to put those down as well, have God remold me into the person he wants me to be, I realize as time goes on, the longer the food is down, my character defects are my new step one. You know, when they rear their ugly head, I'm once again humbled and reminded that perfection is not is not the goal here. You know, it's spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. And this will be a lifelong journey. That's the crushing blow for me sometimes, is this is a lifelong journey and a lifelong change. And but it's beyond my wildest dreams as far as what my alternative is to go back to the food and be in that, you know, blot out my go to oblivion. So thank you for this opportunity to share, and great opportunity to share on this paragraph. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you so much, Liz T. Diane B., will you share with us now, followed by Kristen R.? Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. This is Diane B. from Anaheim, Southern California, and grateful to be on the line, and thank you so much for all of your service, Dawn, and everyone else that helps you. Once again, for me, I'm looking at my thinking is my biggest problem. My thinking is what takes me into the food or keeps me out of the food. And that's exactly what happened here, is that he lost his thinking that he could take for us that one bite. And one of the things that that I could never see far enough, when I wanted that bite, I couldn't see far enough ahead to see what the consequences were and where it would take me. And I think in Roseanne's book, she talks about to never forget your last binge. And that's one thing that has happened with me in recovery, is that I'm able to see where that bite will take me, and I don't want to go there. And I mean, there are all kinds of reasons to take that bite. A trivial reason is an unimportant reason, but because we have alcoholic minds, that reason becomes important. And all the self-knowledge that I have about myself sometimes isn't enough, and which is why we have the steps. That's why we turn to God, and how important it is for us to each find our God, so that we can think far enough ahead to see where that bite will take us, or to be able to regain our recovered thinking. And anyway, I'm just so grateful for this program, grateful for Vision and everyone that does service, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane B. Kristen R., will you share with us now, followed by Cindy B.? Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia. And Fred really strikes a chord with me, because I can relate to him so much. But my relapse into food after 5 years of abstinence happened very slowly over time. It took me taking that first bite, completely abstinent, completely sober. I took that first bite. And that led down a slippery slope into more food and more bites. And but what happened before that first bite is so important. And this is what Fred didn't have. At that point in his story, he doesn't have a program of recovery because he said no. He didn't want to work his program of recovery. And I did the same thing. I didn't have a program of recovery. I had been sponsoring, but I stopped sponsoring. I had been making conscious contact with my higher power, but I stopped that too. I'd been doing 10 steps, but I didn't turn and help somebody else after my 10th step. I just would call people and complain about my problems. So I was working a program of selfishness and self-absorption. And it really came down to just not doing my step work, which is what led me to that first bite. And again, it wasn't fast. It was slow over time, over the course of a year of not doing my step work. And I figured that a bagel would be a good idea to help with the emotional buildup. And so looking back on it now, I can see with a clear head like Fred, I can see where trouble arose. And I'm praying that that knowledge will be helpful in the future. But I know what's really going to be helpful in the future, keeping me abstinent, is my relationship with my higher power and just keeping that conscious contact going. That's so critical. And to do service. I have to do service. I have to stay in the 12th step with the newcomer. And to continue to do 10 steps to get out of the emotional buildup. But after I do a 10th step, I've got to turn my attention to somebody I can help. I have to keep doing these things in order to stay sober today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. And we are on page 41, the second paragraph, starting with, as soon as I regained. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Cindy B., will you now share with us, followed by Jordan L.? Good morning, Cindy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dawn. It's really awesome to be here. These Vision for You meetings have so upped my recovery. I'm Cindy from Boston, Massachusetts, recovered bulimic and very grateful. I'm recovered, not cured. And this story is really the story that I have to hear all the time. I feel like the longer I'm abstinent, the closer I am to breaking the abstinence, or because I don't have a mind that remembers, you know, that last binge. In fact, as I'm even listening to people today, I'm trying to remember that last binge. It was so many years ago, and it's so painful. And, you know, that first line that he says, when I finally had the ability to think, it's like there's no thinking when it comes to using my alcoholic food and anything that I use alcoholically. And I was thinking as I was listening that what I would use food for was relief, reward, as a form of recreation, as a way of relating to other people, and now, you know, I can't use food for those things. That's not how I can. Food is not that for me anymore. It's really nourishment. It's not that it's not enjoyable, because the food that I have, I try to enjoy the best I can, but it's really. It's really about not making it anything other than what it's supposed to be. And I really love hearing even people who have gone through. I had a lot of relapse in the beginning of my recovery, like so much that I just was so hopeless. I never, ever thought that I could possibly ever get a day or a month together. And, you know, really with the help of program, with the help of the steps, with the help of a sponsor and a fellowship, it's just so important. It's a wee program, and I need you all every day, and I need to be reminded that I do not have a defense against that first insane thought the insane thought always wins out. You know, it says in the big book. Thank you, a pass.
Thank you so much, Cindy B. Now, Jordan L., will you share with us? And then we're going to open up the lines for take more names. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. thank you for moderating this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. so I was... went to my home group last week. It's a local meeting that I go to via Zoom. It's based out of Grand Junction, and there's a newcomer there, like fresh. she was attending maybe her fourth OA meeting, something like that. And she asked a question about powerlessness. She was like, I don't really get this. If I'm powerless over the food, then how is it that I make a choice not to engage in that? Or if I'm powerless over compulsive overeating, how do I make a choice not to engage in that? And I can relate, man. I can relate. When I first came in, like, the context of this, this took a while. This took like 5 years for me to get a first step and for this to really sink in. Cause it's like, it like that question is it's a totally valid question. but it's coming from a place that is, the entire opposite of what it is that we're talking about in here, you know? And it's just like it was a long bridge for me to cross from this place of like reasoning and what makes sense over to like the shore of faith, right? And where I'm approaching life from a completely different perspective. And I love that about this paragraph. I love that this is where Fred's at. I had never been able to understand people who said that they had a problem hopelessly defeated. Like, I don't get that. I don't get powerlessness. I just don't understand it when I first get here. You know, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Because I live in a world where I'm told every single day that, like, I am powerful and I have the power and a little more working just a little bit harder. That's what's going to get me there, you know? I knew then it was a crushing blow. And what's crushed here, what's been blown, right, is Fred's ego, is this idea that he's like, he's gonna master this, you know? And then he's able to come from a place that's completely different, a totally different perspective. This is not about beating this disease. It's about surrendering to it. It's wild, man. It just blows me away still after 3 years. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. And we are on page 41, the second paragraph, as soon as I regained. Commenting on that one paragraph only. I'm now going to be taking some more names, and although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Donna B.
Freya
R.
Donna B. Freya R.
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Lynn F.
Lynn F.
Maria T.
Maria T.
Laurie W.
And Laurie W. And that's our last name for today. Okay, I have Donna B., Freya R., Tamara C., Lynn F., Maria T., and Laurie W. Good morning, Donna B. Will you get us started, please?
Good morning.
Oh, I thought it was Freya R. No, sorry.
Oh, do you hear me?
Yep, go ahead, Donna.
Okay. This is Donna B, spelled D-A-N-A, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. And I have the words blank spots underlined over and over and over again. Because I grew up worshiping my intelligence. And as others have shared, you know, worshiping the belief that I could think my way or work my way out of any challenging situation, and that I could think my way and work my way and act my way out of any challenge that got in the way of my intended success. And this idea that there are actually holes in my brain, that my brain is not complete, that there are like chunks that are missing out of this brain that I worshiped so much, and that those chunks make it impossible for me to practice the quote-unquote religion of thinking and acting my way out of my problems. I am deeply humbled by those spots. I am deeply humbled by the acknowledgement, the truth, the deepest truth, that my brain cannot function to get me out of this disease. And that did leave me hopelessly defeated. It was about 3 years ago that I had a relapse back into the sugar, where I woke up in the middle of the night and ate all of this dessert that my children and I made together. And it was that morning that I had to say to my kids that I ate the dessert. And that began the journey of an acknowledgement both to myself and to my family of how powerless I really am, and how little my thinking can help me, and how much I need a power greater than myself. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. Now we'll have Freya R., followed by Tamara C. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning. This is Freya R. from Southern California. And I just wanted to say hello and thank you again to everybody. It's important for me just to speak up. But as far as the crushing blow, I really struggled with some of the food, like the reality that I couldn't control sometimes healthy foods. I understood very early on years ago that sugar was a problem, but I couldn't listen to, I had a hard time listening to sponsors who would encourage me. Like, you know, sometimes even a healthy food is one that you are now turning to for comfort or ease or pleasure, and food's just supposed to be nutritional. And that was the crushing blow to me, that even sometimes a, you know, raw walnut I would turn to the, like, so that was just an important piece for me. If there's a newcomer out there, just to learn, like, okay, I need to listen to that person who has years of experience, because I keep making these mistakes with seemingly and healthy, maybe for another person they are manageable and healthy, but for me, I would turn to them. And that was really final defeat, was that, man, I can't even control some of these healthy foods because I'm overeating on them. So anyway, I just wanted to share that, and thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Freya R. Tamara C., share with us now, please, followed by Lynn F. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. This is Tamara C., gratefully recovered in California. I like Fred. I like him because he's got his self-knowledge and his willpower and his keeping on guard. And I'm like, yeah, that's the answer to life, Tamara. You've just got to figure out life and muster up your willpower and keep on guard, and you got this. And I had to have the crushing blow to learn that I don't got this and I need a higher power. And I, you know, for a long time, I couldn't really identify with that mental blank spot. I was like, I don't know if that's me, because when I eat, I know what I'm doing and I just can't stop. I'm not telling myself it's going to be okay this time. I'm like yelling at myself, don't do it. And I just would pick up. And so I would think I don't really get that mental blank spot. But then a little over a year and a half ago, I had a really clear experience with the mental blank spot, and I broke my abstinence in a situation where I had been abstinent for a long time. I felt like I was recovered. I was doing my best to work the steps, but I was in a resentment, and it didn't occur to me that I could do a 10-step right then in that situation, and I didn't even think to reach out to my higher power. And then when the food situation came up, I thought I didn't have a choice. And again, it didn't even cross my mind, hey, turn to God and ask God for direction here, until later. And so on reflecting on it, I was like, wow, okay, mental blank spot right there. So I just have to just keep growing spiritually, keep becoming spiritually awake, and exercise that muscle of turn to my higher power, reach out to fellows, and keep becoming spiritually awake, because all my self-knowledge is not the answer. Abstinence is not the answer. My willpower is not the answer. And even keeping on guard is not my answer. My higher power is my answer. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. Lynn F., will you share with us now, followed by Maria T.? Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm so, so grateful for this meeting that I've been listening to almost every day for a few years now. So I just want to say out loud again, I went to Unity Day, a workshop in my local area, and I said out loud what's been going on in my mind, and it's really helped. And so I'm just going to say it again. I have about a year of abstinence, but I did have a mental blank spot moment. And then the next day I got right back on my program. But what's happened to me now is I am obsessed with the idea that, let's say, in a year from now, I can have that item again because I made it through and I got right back on. And for, 25 years, I had the obsession of the mind of what I was going to eat next and da-da-da. And for the past year, I've been free of that by surrendering to my food plan, surrendering to the program, seeking my higher power, prayer and meditation, helping others. And it's been absolutely a miracle and fabulous. And if I can do it, anybody can. Great. But then I also know if I don't take care of this, because I have this thought in my mind, you know, someday I can have that item again just for one day. But you know what? I dodged a bullet, and I really need to get it very clear in my mind that that is not the way to think. It's an obsession. It's the obsession trying to return. So just to say it out loud to all you people, my fellow sufferers. And I'm not suffering anymore. I'm happy, joyous, and free. And it's such a miracle. I really never thought that it would happen. And so I'm just going to nip this in the butt. Bye. Or bud. I never know if it's bud or butt. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got to say. Thank you so much for all your service, everybody who makes this happen. So have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lynn F. And we are on page 41. The second paragraph starts with, as soon as I regained, and we're commenting on that paragraph. Would you share with us, please, Maria T., followed by Lori W. Good morning, Maria.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yes? Good. Hi. Thank you for your service today, and thank you for all the shares that's already been made. And I just want to share that, you know, I thought that I had this licked. I thought that I had accepted my powerlessness, and that, you know, I accepted that I was a compulsive eater, and that, you know, that I could not, I had to live with a food plan, I had to weigh and measure. And from March to September last year, that was going really well. And, you know, I was really focused on working the program. And then in October, you know, I started getting, well, I had a situation that was producing a lot of fear and anxiety, and I was becoming more and more obsessed with that situation, and that was actually taking me away from working and following the directions for the program. So I stopped going to meetings so much. I stopped weighing and measuring my food. I stopped. I started to become a little bit more, you know, flexible with eating certain amounts of bread. And even though I wasn't picking up my alcoholic foods, I was eating more and more bread. And, you know, I was kind of, oh, well, justifying it in my mind, that blank spot, that it was okay because I could determine what was on my food plan. But actually, you know, it was becoming more and more of a problem. And then in last weekend, you know, I was talking to somebody and I mentioned it to her, and I said that I really think I'm questioning my abstinence. So she said, you know, well, if you're questioning it, maybe you're not abstinent anymore and maybe you need to start working the steps again. And I thought, well, I need to look for a new sponsor. And we jumped straight on it, you know, so she's helped me, and it just feels really good to be here and listening to what's shared. And, you know, I can really identify with Jim always with that mental blank spot. So it's very subtle, this disease. It wasn't sugar this time that I had picked up. It was actually the bread. And now I've put that down, I feel peaceful and I feel happy, joyous and free again. So I'm keeping on. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria T. And now Lori W. will share with us, and then I think we're going to have a time for another person to share as well. Lori W., good morning.
This is Lorraine W., and I am a compulsive overeater. I had no fight whatever against the first drink. This time I had not thought of the consequences at all. And the other one is I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. And I've been in relapse. I've been programmed 29 years this year, and I've had a couple of relapses and probably a couple more slips. And I know this is how I was during those times. I was trying so hard to use my own choices, my own program without using program. I was trying to time my meals and do anything possible except to surrender to God, my higher power, to allow me to get that level of abstinence again. And that's why it took me a while. Yes, I had to give up the sponsees that I had. I had to refocus on the basics of the program and not trying to take it on where I left off. I had to really turn to God. I had to turn to God and allow God, his will for me, that his power alone and his knowledge alone would help me to recover again. He gave me that opportunity. I was in such fear that I was back where I was 29 years ago, so desperate, so challenged by the food, that the food was my God. The food encompassed me all the time, and I needed to really surrender to God and pray harder and meditate on his will for me and stop picking up those items that were making me crazy, that were making me want to eat more. Not necessarily were they not abstinent foods. A lot of them were abstinent foods, at least for me, I thought they were. But they became foods that I could no longer eat. They became foods that were very dangerous for me. They could be healthy for other people, but because the way I ate them and what I did with them, what I mean is what I added to them was too dangerous for me. The amounts to weigh and measure became a practice that I had to do, so I would no longer get into those relapses again. I could really relate to both Jim and Fred because I would add things that made things not so abstinent anymore. I justify why I could eat this item as long as it was in something else. I could relate. I could do any behavior and justify and rationalize it because that was my modus operandi, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laureen W. And now I'm going to open up the line. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Is there someone else who would like to share with us this morning?
Michael M.
Try that again.
W.
Leslie W. Okay, go ahead, Leslie.
Hey, thanks so much, Dawn, for your service. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. And, you know, I just wanted to focus my attention on the fact that when I'm looking at this, I think to myself, man, the humility, right, that it takes to get to this point. I mean, you know, I don't really want to admit that I can't handle a freaking piece of bread or one piece of cake or 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. Because everything that I've ever been taught my entire life, everyone around me, every person that I spoke to before I came into these rooms, and even after I came into these rooms, there's a lot of misconception about what it takes to truly become abstinent and recover. It's not about me being a good girl. It's not about me being able to moderate. It's not about my ability to push the plate away. It's not about or not keeping those items in my house. It's not about any of that crap. This is simply an affliction. And it is so shameful. It was so shameful for me to have to admit that I was licked by a food. Everybody knows that drugs and alcohol is an addiction, but to not be able to control myself around a cupcake, who wants to admit that? But the fact of the matter is, I can't. And no amount of willpower is ever going to undo that. I have to have a lot of boundaries around my food, a high level of accountability. I have to call a sponsor every day and say, this is what I'm going to eat. And I'm so thankful that I finally got to that place where I was willing to do that, willing to do whatever it takes, because I was sick and tired of being controlled by the food. I was just sick and tired. So today, I'm thankful to not be in that place anymore, thanks to these 12 steps and to this program and to God. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Leslie W. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen D. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thank you, Dawn. Yes, I'm Eileen D. from Maryland.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.